Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here we go, hour number three. Busy, busy hour on the broadcast today, man. A ton of stuff to get to. Coach John Harkes of the Greenville Triumph is going to join us here in about 15 minutes. We'll talk to him about where the team stands and how they're looking as they head into the USL League One Finals, which are going to take place Friday, October 30th, right here in Greenville. Very excited about them getting the opportunity to host that championship. And then, of course, at 2:35, we'll be joined by Colin Bester of NASCAR. We'll talk a little bit about the race this past weekend and the direction that we are headed in, which is one race left to go until we get to the cut line. Well, we'll head down to just four players remaining in the NASCAR chase for the Cup Championship. That is coming up at 2:35. But in this hour of the show, I'll recap what we've gotten about so far. World Series game number one, Clayton Kershaw finally gets it done in the postseason. Clayton Kershaw finally looks like the Clayton Kershaw that we have been waiting for him to be. Clayton Kershaw is a guy who has had a reputation of falling apart in the postseason, and it looked like that reputation was going to hold up. Remember, he actually took the L in game number four against the Atlanta Braves before the Dodgers came back and won 5, 6, and 7. Kershaw took the L in four after having some back spasms and did not do exceptional. Had a good first three innings, and then got shellacked in inning four, gave the Braves a lead that they never relented before that game ended up going the direction of the ATL Braves ultimately. But Kershaw last night was very, very good. Only threw about 79 pitches ultimately, but was able to get out of there, not surrendering any runs with the exception of one home run to the Rays. And, after that, it was just all Dodgers from the plate. The Dodgers were phenomenal from the plate last night. And they take game number one overall. So we broke that down. I played a video essay that was made by Doc Emrick as he has retired after 47 years calling hockey. It was very, very good. I am going to post that on our Twitter feed at ESPN Upstate here in just a couple of minutes. If you missed that, you are going to want to go back and watch it. It is absolutely spectacular. Even if you are not a hockey fan, you are going to want to watch that because it is just a tribute to sports, man. Happens to be about hockey particularly, but it is a tribute to sports out of the mouth of a man who has been doing it for 47 years and a man who has been the centerpiece of hockey for four plus almost five decades. So I'll post that up for us on our Facebook and Twitter feeds coming up here in just a minute. And I'll have a blog going up about that and my feelings about it coming up later on in the afternoon at ESPNUpstate.com. So make sure you check out our website, save it to your browser bookmarks, ESPNUpstate.com. You can go still read Mark Ryan's blog from yesterday, in which he insists that if you are a fan of a team from a city, then you must be a fan of all the teams from that city or give up your fandom of that city. An argument that, my man got roasted pretty hot and heavy on Twitter for yesterday, and he carried it on into his show. But you can still go read that blog. I've left it up on the front page at ESPNUpstate.com. Make sure you go check that out. The Washington football team will remain the Washington football team at least through next year, according to their team president. Their team president has said that they will be the Washington football team for next year, mainly because, and his reason was that it takes a long time to get approval of the league for new logos, new uniforms, new thises, new that. You got to get the approval of the league for everything that you want to do in order to change your name and your logo. And so they're going to stick with they're going to stick for one more year with Washington football team. I'm going to tell you the truth, Diesel. I think they're sticking with it because I think they kind of like it, right? I think it's it when they got rid of the previous moniker and they shifted it to the Washington football team, there was a lot of blowback from that, right? Oh, it's uncreative. It's dumb. In America, we all have logos and mascots. This is ridiculous. But I think the longer they've gone with it, in the fact that it is different, it is unique, it is special, hell, to me, it's pretty classy. I think because of the fact that it is this unique name of which there is nothing else like it in professional American sports, Diesel, I think the truth is that they just kind of like the name. I think the fans have bought in. I think the merchandise is being moved off the shelves. And I think they've decided to go ahead and stick with it. And I don't hate it, D-Train. I don't hate it.
They'll stick with it for as long as it's not making money and it's not selling jerseys. At which point they'll say, you know what? We'd like some more money from you. We would like you to buy more jerseys. So we're now going to come up with a mascot.
Sure. And I don't think you're wrong about that. But I think the thing about that is, like I said, just having that unique identity, right? Every other team in American professional sports is the Tigers or the Lions or the Eagles or the Hawks or the Cardinals or the large animals and or person that can do damage to you, except the Washington football team, which is just the team, right? That is their mascot is the team. Their logo is the team. It's the team. It's the fans. It's everybody involved in that organization. I think it sells. I think it works. It's something different. We're all looking, when we choose sides, we're all looking for what's different, what sets us apart, what makes us special. And there is no doubt that just being the Washington football team does exactly that. So I actually love it. I think it's a great name. I liked it from the beginning. I was one of the few. Of course, I got called, oh, you're just saying that because you're a soccer nerd, Rob. I mean, maybe. I think there is an element of that I do like. But I think being unique, special, and being set apart in this case is not a bad thing, especially for a team, that is, struggling right now to have any sense of an identity. They don't have one right now, and this gives them a very unique one. More breaking news, and this one impacts the New Orleans Pelicans and, of course, the Upstate's own Zion Williamson. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, breaking news brought to you by our friends at Indeed.com, Indeed.com/hire. If you're looking for the perfect candidate to fill a job at your business, you need to go to Indeed.com/hire and let Indeed help you find that person. Breaking news out of the world of the NBA, Adrian Wojnarowski is reporting that Stan Van Gundy has signed a 5-year deal to become the head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans. He reported that just seconds ago. Pelicans say that they were sold on Van Gundy's abilities as a teacher with a young roster, his history of building top defensive teams, and his vision for the roster in place. His personnel decisions in Detroit was a non-factor in the search. He's coming to coach. So Adrian Wojnarowski is now reporting that the man who really turned Dwight Howard into a machine down in Orlando is now on his way to the Big Easy to be the next head coach of Zion Williamson and the New Orleans Pelicans. That news breaking from ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. just seconds ago. All right, let's take a break. When we come back here in just a minute, Coach John Harkes of the Greenville Triumph is going to join us. We'll talk a little soccer. That's up next on the Rob Brown Show. This is enjoying the game. Like, it wasn't like I was like, well, at least it's.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The Rob Brown Show right here on ESPN Upstate. Rob and Deesa with you. We'll get Coach John Harkes on here in just a second, waiting for his phone call. As soon as he's ready to go, we'll get him on the air, talk a little bit about the Greenville Triumph. Of course, the Triumph, if you have not been listening, did fall to Union Omaha on Sunday afternoon at home, ending their quest to go undefeated through the regular season at home. But in a game that was, frankly, inconsequential. It was a game that took place after the Triumph had already locked up home field advantage for the USL League One Championship. This is a team that has been at the top of the table from the very beginning, and nothing else has been the story for the year. Very impressed with what Coach John Harkes has done. And Coach Harkes is a guy that is very impressive when you look at his resume. You are looking at a guy that has done it at every level. You're looking at a guy that has done it for the MLS. He's done it internationally. He has played and spent time on the U.S. men's national team, has played in a World Cup. Coach John Harkes is the type of cat that just by default is able to inspire guys to play exactly as well as they need to play to take it to the next level. And I think you're going to continue to see that out of the Greenville Triumph moving forward, hopefully including that USL League One championship. So we'll hear from Coach Harkes here in just a minute. Had him scheduled for this segment. We'll see if we can get him in. You know, it's like we mentioned, when they took that L to Union Omaha this weekend, to me, it felt as much a stay in tune game as anything else, right? This is a game that the Triumph already knew that they were moving on to the USL League One Championship. This is a game that they already knew that they were hosting that. This is a game that they have the ability, the opportunity, basically, to go out there and make sure that they are in shape, that their tactics are sound, their chemistry is good, their communication is good, etc. I didn't go into this game necessarily expecting Greenville to you know, run Union Omaha. And by the way, Union Omaha, not a bad team. Not a bad team. This is a team that is still in the mix to end up playing again the Greenville Triumph if they were to make it to the USL League One championship game. The Triumph on top of the table right now with 32 points. Omaha and the Richmond Kickers square right now at 26 points apiece. Tucson at 22, North Texas at 21. So it'll likely be out of Union Omaha and out of the Richmond Kickers that will make their way to the League One championship table to play in the championship game against the Greenville Triumph coming up on, again, the 30th of October. That's a Friday night right here in Greenville. So we'll talk more about the Triumph as we get closer to that match. Looks like we'll get Coach Hark's rescheduled for either tomorrow's show or Friday's show coming up in the next couple of days. So make sure you stay tuned for that later on in the week. As soon as we get that rescheduled, I will let you guys know when to tune in and listen. My man Ross Davenport, at that Ross Baloke on Twitter, said, can you ask Coach Harks to tell me when they're going to score the game winner on the 30th so I don't miss a live game, Greenville goal like I did the last time I saw them live in Madison last year? Not going souvenir shopping during the game this time, I promise. I have already gotten a couple of folks here in the upstate into soccer by taking them to a Triumph game. And what I love about soccer and getting people interested in soccer that maybe have not been in the past, what I really enjoy about getting them involved in soccer is that until you see soccer and hockey both, and I was very glad to be able to meet Coach John Harks and Coach Andrew Lord of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits and the rest of their staff on Sunday as well. One of the things that I love about those two sports and having those two sports together here in Greenville is that until you go see those sports in person, you don't really recognize that they are the definition of nonstop action, right? You hear that described when it comes to football and all that. But if you are a fan of a sport that just does not let up, soccer and hockey are your sports. There is no give. When there is a penalty in hockey, you got about 15 to 30 seconds before the action starts back up. And if no goals are scored, you can have hockey streaks that go 8-9 minutes without interruption. Soccer, very much the same way. With the exception of a foul being called outside the box or inside for a PK, with soccer, it doesn't let up. It's start to finish. The clock doesn't stop because the game doesn't stop. I love these two sports, and we are so, so lucky to have, not just to have them here, and this is another thing that I've told you guys. It's one thing to have local sports. It's another thing to have local sports that are good, right? It is another thing to have local sports that are good, where the teams are actually talented and bring championships back to the city. I have been in places before that have local sports and the teams are either bad or just okay. They're not really championship contenders. And it's unfortunately, it's easy to lose the enthusiasm for local teams when they are not in the playoffs every year, in the run every year. You've got a pair of teams right here in the Greenville Triumph that are hosting the Greenville Swamp Rabbits that are run by a group of guys and gals that I got the chance to meet Sunday that know what they're taught. They know what they're doing. They know what they're talking about. They know how to inspire people. They know how to rally people around. And there is something very, very special about that. So anyway, we will we'll reschedule Coach Harks for later on in the week. So here's what we're going to go ahead and do, Diesel. We're going to go ahead and run to a break just a little bit early. When we come back here in just a moment, Colin Bester of NASCAR is going to call in and join us. We'll talk a little NASCAR with him, and then we'll have time for a full round of Twitter trending topics to wrap up the show. It's Rob Brown. It's Diesel. It's you. It's ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back to Rob Brown Show. Rolls on. It is ESPN Upstate. Welcome back, y'all. Thanks for hanging out with us. Hope you're enjoying the show. We are going to get Coach John Harkes of the Greenville Triumph rescheduled for either tomorrow or coming up on Friday. I'll let you know as soon as we hear from him what day that's going to be, and we'll get that scheduled for you. But now we head back to the phone line and welcome in another esteemed guest, a friend of mine, friend of the program, our buddy from NASCAR, Mr. Colin Vester, joins us on the and of course, Colin, for those of you who have been following the show, Colin is well on his way to his matrimonial vows, so we are very lucky to have him take a few minutes from his scheduled call. And what's up, big fella?
Hey, man, how you doing? How's everything going at the Casa de Love?
So far, so good. I haven't broken anything today. You know, it's about as good of a day as I could ask for. How's the Florida Panhandle?
Good, man. During my wedding, it was unseasonably cold. It was 56 degrees at the time that my wedding ended. The reception ended. We went back to the wife's parents' house, had a bonfire out there. So it was a pretty nice wedding. It was great to see family, friends, some people I haven't seen in a long time. Then wake up Sunday at noon and watch a very exciting Cup Series race at Kansas.
So I got to make sure I got this right. You got married on Saturday. Then you woke up Sunday and went right back to watching racing. And now you're talking to me the same week you got married. Aren't you supposed to be like on a honeymoon? What are you doing, man? Are you starting off on the wrong foot here, Colin?
My honeymoon is after the end of the season, man. I'm working until November 7th. That's when the Cup Series Championship race is. And then the day after that Cup Series Championship, I'll be off for a couple days. I'll talk to you that Wednesday. And then that Thursday, I'll be on my honeymoon for about a week.
Love it. Love it, my man. Well done. Let's jump into it, man. Since you put off your first full day of marital bliss in order to watch the race this past weekend at Kansas, looks like we almost had another edition of the Kevin Harvick show. But Joey Logano ends up beating him by a third of a second to take home the flag and earn the first position in the final four that will settle the season title November 8th at Phoenix Raceway. Logano's had a pretty good year as well. There's Harvick right at the end of the race, as we are getting used to. Just give me your overall impression of what we saw at Kansas this weekend.
You know, I thought the race for three quarters of the entire race was a pretty good race. You saw a lot of close racing throughout the entirety of the race, but it was really Denny Hamlin versus Ryan Blaney for the first two-thirds of this race, and then the final pit stop where Logano took the lead and Harvick caught Logano in the final 10 laps but was unable to complete the pass. And then after the race on social media, you saw a lot of discontent for what we saw, and I would say that the general fan, the hardcore fan of NASCAR over the past couple of years, really, we saw the rules package that we saw at Kansas in the All-Star race 2 years ago. And everyone was really excited. You know, a half-mile racetrack, the kind of race now, we kind of race it like Daytona and Talladega. The draft is more important. On-throttle time is increased. You're probably getting on-throttle time around 80% of a lap. which is unheard of. If I told you 5 years ago that we would have been 80% on throttle time at a half-mile racetrack, you would never have believed me. But it reminded me a lot of what we saw at a super speedway in 2013 when you saw Dale Jr. take the lead in the 500. Guys would catch him but would be unable to pass him because of the aerodynamic restrictions around the car. Now, the racing has been better, yes, but I kind of felt like the finish was kind of marred in some way where Harvick would get to Logano and not have the ability to pass him because of the aerodynamic restrictions on the car. So I don't know if NASCAR is going to be looking at changing a rules package for next year, going to the 750 horsepower package at all tracks and having low downforce, which I would be in favor of. But, you know, NASCAR's in the box because we only have 1 year left on this car, and then we have the new car coming out in 2022. So for Logano to get this win, I think is a very big win for him. Ever since he only had one win on the season before this one, and it was Phoenix before the pandemic really even started. It was the weekend before the whole world turned upside down, and the NBA and MLB postponed their season. So now we're going back to Phoenix in the championship race, and Logano is there, and he won that race dominantly in March. So for Logano, I think he'd be a heavy contender or an odds-on favorite, depending on what happens the last 2 weeks of this round of eight, that if Harvick and Hamlin don't make it there, I think Logano would be the odds-on favorite to win the NASCAR Cup Series championship in 2020.
Talking with Colin Bester of NASCAR here on the Rob Brown Show. Follow him on Twitter at TheColinBest. I want to go back to what you were talking about at the beginning with the aerodynamics and how they impacted that race yesterday. The packages that NASCAR has been running have been a big point of contention and a big point of discussion over the year. There's been a lot of talk about what changes NASCAR might make it any. If they are impacting the playoffs that way, where we all saw that Kevin Harvick was the faster car, Kevin Harvick looked like the better car late in the race, but every time he get close to Logano, those aerodynamics would just close off on him and prevent him from passing. If they are impacting playoff standings, do you think NASCAR does anything different? I know they're already working on the next gen, but do you think they do anything different to try to open these cars up in the playoffs, if nothing else, next year?
No, I don't think we'll see any rule changes moving forward. We only have one more mile and a half track left in the season, and that's this weekend at Texas. And we're going to be sticking with the 550 horsepower package, that low horsepower, high downforce track package. And to be honest with you, Rob, if I was the president of NASCAR for just one day, I could keep the 550 horsepower package. I mean, this is the future. This is what NASCAR wants for more manufacturers to enter the sport. Maybe Honda, that's the name that's been thrown around for the past couple of years. They've entered every other form of motorsport. Why not enter NASCAR in the future? So, you know, we can talk about that another day, but lower the downforce. Take that 7-inch spoiler and take it down to 3.5, like we go to every other single racetrack. You know, that's not in the 550 horsepower range. We'll take it to Phoenix for the championship race, the 750 horsepower package. We'll take it to Martinsville. We take it to the road courses, and next year we'll be taking it to Darlington and Nashville Super Speedway. So, for me, I don't care about the 550 horsepower package. What you see on TV, you don't really notice that they're going slower. And by slower, we're talking 10 miles an hour. So it's not a huge difference on the straightaways. We're talking increased corner speeds with all this high downforce. But what you get with the tires, which I have kind of bashed on this radio program the past couple of weeks I've been on it, is create a tire that has fall off. Create a tire that doesn't run 40 laps and you only fall half a second. Create a tire where if we go to Atlanta, you fall a second, 2 seconds, maybe even 3 seconds over the lifespan of this tire. So, you know, NASCAR is in a bubble, like I said, with the new car on the way. Changing a rules package just for like one more race in the playoffs doesn't seem like such a great fit. But it would be kind of like changing NFL playoff rules the day before the game. Remember last year, Kansas City versus New England, perfect example, saying, oh, well, the Patriots just scored. Well, we're going to make this game time decision, say, Kansas City, you get the ball. How many NFL fans would be very upset that they didn't get to see, sorry, not last year, but 2 years ago, that Patrick Mahomes got the chance and we would have gone to a second overtime? I think a lot more fans would be upset than you realize, and that's the kind of the box that NASCAR's in right now.
Talking with Colin Bester of NASCAR, talking midway through the playoffs. Let's look at Kyle Busch for a second. Busch's number one car blew an engine 198 laps into the race, which basically means that it is now must win for him at either Texas and or Martinsville in order to move on. Guy's been having a good, if not unspectacular, run through the playoffs so far. Is Kurt Busch out of contention now with a must win at either of the next two races?
He's more of a long shot, but he's not out of contention. Like I said last week, I would be surprised if any four of the eight drivers we currently have are in the final round at Phoenix. And what we saw in Las Vegas kind of represents what we'll see at Texas a little bit, where when we saw at Texas earlier this year, Austin Dillon was able to get out front and stay out front. I don't know if it was the aerodynamic package. I don't know if the top, because Texas has had a repave recently, so the track has a lot of grip and tires will not fall off. Tires will not be eaten up by the abrasive racetrack. So let's say Kurt Busch is 15 laps to go in this weekend's race, he gets the lead. He may not relinquish that lead, regardless of what anyone behind him does do. Now, I will say that the top 10 playoff drivers who have a top 10, obviously, in NASCAR history over the past couple of years, the champion has finished in the top 10 at Texas Motor Speedway. Now, we're talking about eight drivers here. Let's say all they finish out in the top eight. That's not very a barometer of championship success. But I will say the playoff driver who has won at Texas every single year in this championship format has not gone on to win the championship at the end of the season. So maybe that history is going to tell us a little something. Let's say Alex Bowman, Alex Bowman finishes in the top 10 and Kevin Harvick wins the race. History tells us that Alex Bowman has a better shot to win the championship than Kevin Harvick, who, when we go to Phoenix, it's Kevin Harvick versus the field. It's going to be very interesting to watch, and history tells us that this may be a likely predictor of how that championship race will go.
Colin Bester of NASCAR is joining us to talk some NASCAR right here on the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate. One thing that I have not loved, or I guess I should say I'm not in love with right now, Colin, not a big fan of the back-to-back mile-and-a-halfers in the playoffs. I know you got to have a couple in there. I know that's part of the game. But not a big fan of having them back to back, especially when they are the only two races in an elimination round, with Kansas and Texas Motor Speedway going back to back. Obviously we head to Martinsville next and then out to Arizona. So a couple of unique tracks to end the year, with all the changes we are having to the schedule. And I know the schedule is already set for next year. Could we see more or less mile-and-a-halfers on the playoffs sometime in the future, or is NASCAR pretty happy with the way it's set up right now?
Well, it looks like we're getting, more short tracks, more road courses in the future. Obviously, look at Autocombe Speedway, the giant two-mile D-shaped ovals now being turned into a half-mile short track. You're looking at there have been plans to turn the Chicago mile-and-a-half speedway into a three-quarter-mile D-shaped oval. So it looks like, they're not building short tracks in this country anymore. What racetracks you have are what you get. And if you want more short tracks in this country, either you have to go to an existing one that the companies that be, that NASCAR or SMI, Speedway Motorsports Incorporated, that they have to own. And these are business deals that are being talked with now for 2022 schedule. And with that, you look at tracks like Nashville Fairground Speedway, which is the only reason NASCAR is going to Nashville Super Speedway in the first place, is to get a barometer on how well fans take going to Nashville. And if fans sell that place out, I'm talking grandstand seating sold out, I'm talking infields, all RV and tents sold out, and they do this probably consistently for the next 2 or 3 years, then yeah, maybe Nashville's Fairground Speedway, the half mile bull ring there, looks like a more promising indicator that business may be picking up. You know, when this 2020 schedule came out last year, you saw that NASCAR had a big emphasis on short tracks and road courses. Let's look at the chase, the playoffs. Sorry. The first round was the elimination race at Bristol. The second round was the Charlotte Roval. The third round is the elimination race at Martinsville. So obviously you know what NASCAR interests are in the future, and having 2.5-mile tracks, then a short track to end it. I mean, that if you look at NASCAR's schedule, how many times do you look at that schedule and look at, oh, there's 1.5 miles. Like, we're going to Atlanta, and then we're going to Homestead, Miami. That's 1.5 miles. Oh, and now we're going to Richmond or Bristol or Martinsville. We're going to break it up before we go to Talladega. That's usually how things go in NASCAR. And, you know, I don't mind it. This whole playoff schedule is very well to see how a team does on a variety of racetracks. And obviously, when you get to the 1.5-mile program, you're looking at the aerodynamic package and the engine package. Whereas you go to Martinsville, you're looking at how talented you are as a driver and how good your brakes are. Because if your brakes aren't good and your driver ain't good at handling those brakes, then you're not going to make it out of the third round of the playoffs. And you probably wouldn't have made it out of the first round of the playoffs with Bristol. And if you did, then you wouldn't have made it out with the Roval, because that is a driver and brake racetrack. So I like how NASCAR is going forward. I like the things that we're doing. I wish I could tell you more, but 2022 looks to be like a great year. So just keep your eyes on that going into next year. But this has been a certainly busy week for me. A lot of new drivers, a lot of new places. Eric Jones goes to the 43 car for next year. Chase Briscoe fills Clint Bowyer's seat in the 14. We're starting to find the pieces. Kyle Larson applied for reinstatement and got it. Will he be going to Hendrick Motorsports? Who knows? This has been a crazy year in NASCAR, as like it is around the world. I'm just hoping, you know, the next couple of days could be very big indicators. I feel like, Rob, I'm going to drop a little nugget on your show before I go. There may be a big news story coming out by the end of the week into next time I talk to you about Kyle Larson. So hopefully we can talk about that next weekend, as Kyle Larson may sign with Hendrick Motorsports, which would certainly boost their driver roster over there in 2021.
Love it. Looking forward to it already. Colin Bester is our NASCAR insider. Follow him at @TheColinBest on Twitter. My man, go enjoy married life for a few days. Tell your bosses we give you permission to take it easy. We'll get you back on next Wednesday. You'll be nice and relaxed at that point. We'll do it again.
Look, man, if marriage is as easy as the only worst thing I've done so far is not pick up my wife a cookie from Subway, then the marriage will be a breeze. Marriage is going to be an absolute cakewalk.
If that is the worst you've done in a week, my man, you've done well, and you outkicked your coverage. Congratulations, buddy. I'm happy for you, man.
Thank you, bud. Be safe. Have fun.
We'll do it. Talk to you next week. That's Colin Bester. Again, follow him at @TheColinBest. On NASCAR. Quick break back after this. We got ourselves an abbreviated edition of Twitter Trending Topics to end it. It's the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here's what's happening on the internet. Let's see what Rob Brown knows about it. Topic number one is Borat.
Yeah, there is apparently a scene in Borat, and I'm not going to go into it because, you know, I want to see how it plays out and get everything in context. But apparently there is a scene in the Borat movie, which drops this weekend on Amazon Video, I believe, which will feature a very compromising scene with the president's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani. Again, not going to get into it because I don't know how legit it is. I mean, I try not to get too deep into breaking news because traditionally breaking news ends up getting clarification over the next handful of days, and this we'll see on video. So Rudy Giuliani might be in a bit of trouble over a Borat scene, but we will find out when that movie comes out this weekend.
All right, next up is Real Madrid.
Yeah, Real Madrid had themselves a game today against Shakhtar Donetsk, and they got upset. Real Madrid, Shakhtar had 10 first-team players out due to COVID-19, 10 first-team players out due to COVID-19, and they still pulled a 3-2 upset. Now, Valverde did have a goal for Real Madrid in the 93rd minute of play in stoppage time, but that goal was ruled out by VAR. So Real Madrid with a shocking L today to Shakhtar. It's a big L in the world of soccer. That's the Chiefs losing to the Jets is what that is.
Next up, Pope Francis.
The Pope today, and one of the more progressive popes of our lifetime, the Pope today endorsed same-sex civil union laws in a documentary released on Wednesday, adding that, quote, they are the children of God and have a right to a family. Nobody should be thrown out or be made miserable because of it. Pope Francis calling for civil union laws for same-sex couples today. A very progressive pope leveling another progressive decree within the Catholic Church.
Next up, Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks is on Twitter, the 95-year-old, dare I say, Diesel, king of comedy.
Yeah.
I watched Blazing Saddles again the other night, and it's still great. It's still great. Mel Brooks put out a video today in which he said that he is voting for Joe Biden. Says he is voting for Joe Biden, that he wants everybody else to vote. Said that the reason he is doing so is due to the coronavirus. He has been unable to see his son or his grandson except through a window for the past couple of months, and feels that Joe Biden would do a better job handling the end of the pandemic. But Mel Brooks at 94 years old, still freaking kicking, man. Gotta love Mel Brooks.
Still spry. And at the very end of his video, he was inside. His son and grandson were outside on the other side of the glass. And he said, okay, I'm done with you now. You can leave.
The dude is the best.
It's funny. Next
dude
up,
is the best.
Odell is trending.
Oh, hell, Odell. Odell Beckham's banned from the LSU locker room for 2 years because of that incident after LSU's national championship game where he was on the field passing out money to LSU players. Now, Odell has maintained that money was fake. It was Monopoly money. It was fake money. But LSU has turned in a handful. We're going to talk about this tomorrow on the show. Turned in a handful of violations, of which Odell Beckham was at the center of one. We'll break that down for you tomorrow. That's it for the show. Mark Ryan and Lonzo are up next for Offsides. Y'all have a great rest of your Wednesday, man. Breaking down games tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. Later.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.